Blog Talk Radio.
The title of the song is So, So Sad. It's copyrighted in 2005 by Montreville Monroe Blakely Jr. It's in three sharps, key of A. We're going to start it out, B minor, E7, add 9. Here we go.
Another 2 years before Measure 74 pops its head out of the social fabric again. That'll be 2012. And in the meanwhile, we're going to entertain the likes of a new Cannabis Tax Act that's being put on the ballot by more than likely Portland Normal, Madeline Martinez, and the likes of Paul Stanford. This has been the dynamic duo that tried to give you the Cannabis Tax Act this year, and floundered at the Million Man Marijuana May Day Parade, which basically created a great riff of distension amongst the pro-cannabis corpse and those of us who were working on your behalf. But hey, I digress. I don't want to start out by losing you in the muddle puddle as the world turns. The title opening track of this segment is so sad for a reason, because the essence of the song is all the love you could have had, you know, thought you would have found me out by now, but, you know, hey, brown cow, it's everything we can do to muster up enough luster, because Buster Brown has been tearing it down with a frown, and his view is a muddle puddle of misperception and misguided values, which would just seek to sell Mary Jane under a new Cannabis Tax Act under the auspice of legalization. Well, we're gonna give you the real deal and what it is and what it's not. But again, I digress, because we don't want to lose you folks to a reality check. We want to hype the dream. And we live in a world of optimism. Captain Optimism is reflecting on the static of the Blog Talk channel to bring in some retrospect on this year's campaign efforts, and we want you to know the nitty-gritty and the inside scoop, and granted, Bud Justice is not the only keen with his third eye open. There are people out there with insight to the dynamic which has gone into a most creative campaign for cannabis culture. And if you're feeling inclined, you can always call us at 347-934-0427 to give up your two bits and refine the view, or define the measure. How do you see it? Well, we heard from Johnny Hempseed today. He's an elusive character. He's still skirting around the edges of the core family crew, and he called to let us know that Johnny Hempseed is going to be taking it from here. Granted, he's still working in the shadows there, and yet to come online with his hemp product line and his hemp foods direct mail order program, and we've been waiting for several years now for that Earl to show up on the .com wire, but he's yet to actually show up on the scene. He is a very active speaker and dynamic petitioner. But he's a one-man show, and he's German as German can be. So, Heil, Heil. And all the while, we're going to see if we can't hook a few heads to come out of their groove to play a part in rounding out this vision, this process to really put the spin on how we can go from time is money, corporate culture, job spell of a 5-day work week into a full-time realization, into a progressive party of interrelated interests where everybody gets what they need when they need it, and sooner than later. Well, on that note, we're going to go into the five pillars of this segment's worth, which is first and foremost the acknowledgments. Acknowledgments are due in more ways than one, because we oftentimes we lose sight of what it takes in order to make a good thing happen for you all. And so just know that if it wasn't for the likes, in regards to Measure 74, this campaign, first and foremost, I've got to give recognition to John Sajo and Anthony Johnson and the crew at the voter-empowered green-free patient resource centers for giving us the measure and for speaking out and for traveling and for giving us resource to make an honest living and do so engaging in the mind's eye of the general public. In so doing, I was looking for a creative organization to work with this year's campaign, and I couldn't find it in the THCF, despite the 2 years of volunteer work that I had put in towards their encampment, and of course, Mama's spiraling out with her ego mansion, so we're having to really resort to the fundamental blue-collar facets of this movement, and we found that at the voter power office, the day I walked into the office, I was basically given an opportunity to take a test to become a paid circulator on behalf of the state of Oregon, and Billy Kyle got me focused. From the minute I walked in, I was moving right into it, and by the time we were done that day, I had myself a job. I had ways and means to pursue my mission, and I felt a sense of camaraderie and cooperation. It was very much a relief, then given the materials and the tools to be able to get out and actually knock on them doors and make them phone calls and ride them buses, trains, planes, and everything else that we did to bring in 500,000 votes and a great deal of awareness. So hats off to the voter-empowered peoples. And hats off to you at Metro East Community Television and you folks that have been giving us those ways and means to be able to speak out. We had the ballot measure speak out segment, which reached probably 2.8, right around 2.8 million people on five different channels there. And that was a real good opportunity to say something good and to say something that would get through to those powers that be to encourage y'all to vote. Other acknowledgments would be those people who showed up at the thing, and there were multiple events. Some of the peak moments were the Oregon Pharmaceutical Board meetings, declassifying Mary Jane from its Class 1 federal association into a Class 2, Oregon being the first state of the union to do so. We saw the likes of Jim Murray. We saw the likes of Anthony Johnson and Sarah Johnson. And we saw the likes, Sarah Duff, pardon me. And we saw the likes of I think it's Alice Bailey. Really getting astute with these names here. And we had Greg, I think it's Greg Barton, the attorney. He got some live airtime. And, of course, yours truly, Bud Justice, on the line. Oddly enough, we didn't see representation from the other Megacorp cannabis clinics. But, they've got their focus and we've got ours. You know, some of the critique that's going to come through tonight is going to be rather edgy in regards to this campaign, because we could have realized this. The general public could have realized Measure 74 as a garden culture economic reality, but we simply missed the boat on that, and now there's going to be a very rough ride to 2012. Unless the powers that be really begin to take personal responsibility for themselves and deepen their well of insight, so that this movement can fully flower its potential and mature as a dynamic social fabric of economic creativity and abundance. And we want to be plenty safe at that. So we've got reflections as one of our tags tonight. We're going to be reflecting upon what happened this year and why, and how we can best fine-tune our efforts. You know, we have a new attempt to tax and regulate cannabis now from Ashland. And, that's now being called the Octolite. And the previous version of the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, produced by Paul Stanford and THCF, was a very meticulous effort that went through a great deal of refinement. Thank you, Paul. However, there was one clause in there that we were questioning, and that was the corporate personam clause. And the corporate personam clause would require you to be basically corporate straw man, which is another form of slavery, which binds you under maritime jurisdiction to a particular quality of representation in law. And the corporate personam today is basically a spin-off bot of the Terminator genetic dysfunction of species gone mad, regulated by an artificial timing frequency and a 12-month fiction 60-minute hour that boils into a philosophy, and a ruthless one at that, that time is money. And you're going to hear me coming back to that, because this connection with corporate personhood and the corporate dominant paradigm today is absolutely on its way out, and we must needs expose those who are still playing by those rules and regulations that are no longer befitting the salt of the earth. So we've got reflections and cannabis campaign insight for you. We're going to have some true values coming through as we bring on Don Borby in the near future. He's got two cents, as always, to put into the kettle. And then we're going to throw in a counterspin of retrospect, which is just that. And just know that we do in the near future intend to move out of the political bullpen into the synchronic order. We promised you we would. We had to step down into the muddle puddle in order to flush out the players and the players that be in those elements which are ready for transmutation. And in so doing, I myself am quick to get on with my own personal purification. I've been living practical and frugal and on a shoestring budget throughout the summer. And Bud Strider has pushed the limits, and now he's got to take care of his insides and get back into the aesthetic practice that is going to keep him fit and youthful as he approaches his 41st year as a self-existing human. So here we are, 13 minutes into our program, and in coming back to the cannabis campaign insight, there were some key moments this year that cannot be overlooked when we talk about the campaign for cannabis and the new measure or initiatives, the new initiatives that are being introduced, which resemble tax acts to legalize that which is already legal and is now moving into its 13th year, which would be the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act. The fact that marijuana is legal for cardholders, and even for those who don't have cards, there is an affirmative defense clause of OMA's Act that does entitle anyone who is absolutely convicted and convinced that cannabis is a benefit and can be used maturely by adults, by consenting adults, has an absolute affirmative defense to utilize cannabis in their best interests. It's always been that way. So you should revel in your free will to choose alternative organic medicines that can best assist you in whatever gets you through the night. And so the key points that need to be brought into perspective will be exhaustive and will not be able to fit within the 11 minutes of this program. But I can tell you that there are some mystery elements at play that we need to look at, since so many people give homage and respect up to Jack Harar. Let's look at the unique day of his Passover, which was April 15th, or what would be called Tax Day, and the Supreme Court's ruling that preceded the first day of the Octatour, which was, again, a campaign that was ahead of its, perhaps, well, I can't say it was ahead of its time, because we do need to industrialize hemp, and we do need to move into the utilization of that resource. But the flower power is still far from maturing in its application, and we're still trying to move into the aesthetic practices and care providing elements that really put into proper perspective what it means to be part of a wellness revolution, or shall we say a paradigm for managing personal pain and helping helping our families and friends to stay healthy amidst a health crisis and what have you. Well, it was a long-winded run, and I've got to try to get this through to you, that we've got those dates, April 15th and the early April days, when we had the May Day parade on May 1st, closure of the Cannabis Cafe. And then we saw the separation of Paul Stanford and Madeline Martinez into distinctive camps. We've noted elements of creative distension, which are being transformed and transmuted, and it's going to be a very interesting campaign when the Optolite reveals itself, and we're hoping that the corporate personam clause has been removed. We're also hoping that the monopoly established by Madeline Martinez and her misguided representation will be brought into light, and we know that it has already. Speaking out about these things, just expect a whole lot more retrospect and reflection. You know, we've already won this campaign. We had over 500,000 votes in Oregon that gave us a thumbs up. As I listen to the feedback coming back from providers and from patients, obviously this is an element of education and awareness that was not necessarily part of the campaign. The campaign did not utilize the creative media outlets that presented themselves, but rather resorted to their own let's just say that we're trying to get with this Progressive Party potential, and that there are resources on the table, but very few people who are qualified enough to put them to good use. So Bud Justice is on the line and will continue to be on the line, drawing them out and challenging those heads who are laying low as a result of the hostile methods and hostile forms of government terrorism that seek to prevent folks from growing their own food, from growing their own gardens, and from attaining autonomy within the belly of a great beast. And on that note, I'm going to have to take the opportunity to bring in Don Borby. Don, how's it going?
Fine, Jason. Thank you for bringing me into this discussion. And I've been here chomping at the bit, wanting to give a couple of comments. One of the comments I want to make is that the issues that are before the country right now are usually fear-based issues, because somehow fear is the way that our religious backgrounds, our religious persona, all collectively operate best. Fear is how the religions are perpetrated and in the country, and it doesn't serve the public well to have our children being indoctrinated with fear. But fear does promote lots of money and financial support for causes, and cannabis is a perfect one to generate fear around. And I, for one, like my life to be free of that kind of fear. I think I operate best, and it's better for my health when I'm not so fearful. And so I'm trying to play down the fears that we're all full of when we bring up any subject. Our major single issues in the country are fear-based, and I don't want to have my life be run by that kind of persona.
Yeah, it's so true, Don. You know, we know that the remedy or the antidote to fear is intelligence. So it's no surprise that publications like Willamette Week and the Portland Tribune and the Beaverton Valley Times and the Oregonian and these white mainstream corporate clowns continue to water us down with shady journalism and all sorts of false perceptions and class one associations. You know, it's high time that we step out with an intelligent coalition of interests. And if we could get those benefits actors who are benefiting from the OMA program to simply tie the portion of their revenues or tie the portion of that which we have helped them to reserve, then we would stand a chance in creating a media arm of sorts or a media form vehicle that could very well persevere in protecting those interests and developing the programs and skills and services and the social forms that could round out the mainstream's view towards cannabis culture.
And what I also get is that when we are allowing this fear-based emotion to run our lives, then we also are warding off the intelligence of and the education that is necessary for having better lives, for this generation to be an improvement over the last generation. I'd like to feel that my children will fare better than I did, rather than continue on with me. I'd like an improvement in my society, not just stuck in the morass of uneducated behavior.
That's right. That's right. And on that note, Don, we're going to wrap it up and thank every one of y'all who have tuned in. Do so again, as we will be raising the bar in more ways than one to bring you a bigger, better deal, Charles. Bigger, better deal. But justice and Don Morby, I'll